I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Judges chapter 6. And as you're turning to Judges chapter 6 and ministering in Ballinahinch, I always make sure that the young people always have something too that go home with. Rather than the boys and girls going and saying, well, I have nothing at all. I try to listen, but I can't get anything. Well, I want to ask you a little question. I know nobody's going to get this unless you're a keen gardener. But boys and girls, does anybody know what this is? A plant pot. What's inside it, do you know? A plant. Boys and girls, inside it, I don't know if you can see it. It's kind of rough here. But can you see inside there, see a plant? Well, that is actually a strawberry. And I'm looking for, this is my attempt of making strawberries. You know, boys and girls, sometimes we try to make attempt with things to try and make them grow. We try to make ourselves grow, but sometimes it doesn't work. But the Bible tells us a little word over in Ephesians chapter 4. It says these words, but speaking in truth and love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That we grow up into things. Now, boys and girls, you think this is going to take a long time. And maybe you've been growing. I don't know your age. So you were the first person. What age are you? 8 years of age. It took you 8 years to get eight. Isn't that mad? 8 years to get to eight. Now, I'm going to ask Barclay Morrow. What age are you at the back?
91.
It's taken a long time. It'll take you a long time to get to 91. You know, boys and girls, it takes a long time sometimes to grow. But, you know, I've got something planned because this is a better one. This is an actual strawberry plant that's actually grown. You know, boys and girls, this has taken time. It's taken a work, but it didn't happen all of a sudden. If my mind is right, growing up in this congregation, Jim Watterson was traveling on the bus one day. And he asked one man if he wanted to be a bus driver. He said no on many occasions. But Tommy Atkinson was told one day, well, if you don't step on it, the bus is going to crash. Because Jim stepped out of that seat and made Tommy go in. And they had to drive that bus. You know, boys and girls, it had to be a time of learning, but it had to be a time of growing. We don't all grow at once. And there's not one person that grows at exactly the same time. We have to grow in different parts. But you know, boys and girls, we need time to grow. And maybe you say as a Christian, I'm not growing the way that I think I'd be. I'm still this small strawberry plant. That's how I feel I am. I'm like this small strawberry plant, and I've tried to grow. But you know what you have to do with it? You have to water it. You have to look at it. I don't talk to the plants, no harm to you. You have to water it. You have to look after it. You have to mulch it eventually, as I've done with that one there. Mulch it, puts grass in it, etc. You know, you have to do all those little things to make sure that you grow. And boys and girls, there's something that you can do. Come to Sunday school, children's meeting. You go to the youth. Go up in the works that we have in this church. Because boys and girls, you'll not always stay this size. Someday you'll be like Barclay Morrow. You'll be this size here. But you know, boys and girls, it all takes time. And it takes time with your life too. That if you don't walk with the Lord, you're always going to be this small little plant. But boys and girls, I want to see you grow. I don't know if I'll be back next year. I'll be back tonight. My wife will sing with me too. But I know we'll be back next year. But if I come back next year, I'll see a difference. Just as you look at our Jacob. Many of you never saw Jacob, but Jacob's now 7 years of age. You know, boys and girls, it takes us time to grow. I remember a wee boy said, as we song, it says, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. If I keep praying, reading my Bible and praying every day, will I grow? Meaning, can I grow tall? You know, boys and girls, it just takes us to read and pray that we would be like this here. That you grow in the things of God. Boys and girls, I want you to learn more about God. And if you can learn more about God, about little illustrations like that, and you know something, there has to be the root. It has to be shown. And boys and girls, it has to be for your mums and dads and grannies and grandas to show you the way that you will walk before God. It just doesn't happen that you say, well, I can do this and do that, but you must follow God, but must also have that little growth in your life. I trust you will have a wee growth. Boys and girls, now I want you to go home and start making strawberry plants. How do you do it? Get a strawberry, cut it in half, put it in your plant pot, and there you go. That's all you have to do. Boys and girls, I hope that you get something that you will learn to grow is about the things of God and love the things of God and love what God can do. So with the boys and girls learning something, now, boys and girls, listen along with everybody else, and let's read God's word from the book of Judges, chapter number 6. Judges, chapter number 6. Get the Joshua, then Judges. Familiar portion of Scripture. Hopefully this is a word in season. I know from the prayer time that there's a desire in people's hearts for this word. Let's read together. Verse number 10 of Judges 6. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, Lord, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Imagine God saying that to you, mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which your fathers told us? Of saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Underline that too. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou hast talkest with me. Amen. And the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come afresh into thy presence. And Lord, we ask for help. O Lord, we come as a candidate for power. And we ask for power in our preaching. O Lord, we come, O God, that thou empty us of ourselves and fill us to the uttermost. We shall be used of God. O Lord, we need thee. Stand at this preacher's elbow. Fill our mouth, O God, we pray. O Lord, we pray that you'll give listening to the hearers of those that gather here and those that will listen in online. O Lord, may we see signs following the preaching of thy precious, infallible truth. As Barry said, I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go to the house of the Lord. Lord, bless us now, I pray, in Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Amen. By the way, whenever I was doing that wee illustration, do you want to know who first set me out in thinking of illustrations to bring to children, not only in my church, but before? It was Ruth Stewart. Ruth Stewart did an illustration in the children's meeting going back 10 years ago, 10 and a half years ago, if I'm mind correct. She did it about the man, wise man, he built his house upon the rock and the one in the sand. I don't know if Ruth remembers that the illustration she did. She brought a bottle of water out and she poured out so the sand would actually fall. If Ruth, you can mind that, whoever's in the children's meeting, get her back to do that. That was amazing. It stuck in my mind all those years ago. And that's what tied me in to do a children's address for young people, because of Ruth Stewart back then, that she brought that little message about the man who built his house upon the sand and also those that built their house upon the rock. And may that be the case for us. But this morning as we gather, I want us to underline a few words in a verse of Scripture. In verse number 13, it says these words in the middle of it. Why then is all this befallen us? Why then is all this befallen us? Well, I wonder this morning, when you hear that question, what comes to your mind? Maybe it's that there's a set time in your life that you come across about time when things have befallen you. Maybe you've come to a crossroads in your Christian walk this morning. We all know that life isn't easy. We all know that things come upon us that can break us. Some things can make us, or some things can also break us and humble us. And it even can make you turn around and go along a road which you know God doesn't want you to go on. Though those times are happening, It has caused your life to go in a direction which God said don't go. And that direction is that road you're walking on. Those times are not times of refreshing. But they're times which draw us away from where God wants us to be and where we need to be. But when the believer thinks of that question, why then has thou befallen us? We wonder, why did Gideon say that? Surely Gideon was a man mightily used of God. Surely Gideon was a man who was working at home and working in the things of God. But sin was in the land. Worldly actions drew the attention of God. And this question, I wonder, as we look upon this world this morning, as we look upon the actions, maybe you have asked God that same question. Why then has all this befallen us? Why then has this all come to pass? This land was once known as the Bible Belt of Europe. But why then has this occurred unto us? And as we look at Gideon's life, we cannot get his head around of what's going on within his life. And we notice that he cannot understand why the people of Israel are hurt against the Midianite army. He doesn't understand why they face the struggles. He doesn't understand what's been going on. He doesn't think God sees the Midianite army coming against them. He doesn't understand why they've oppressed him. And Gideon basically saying, God, where art thou? Where's God? But even though there may be times in your life when you think that, where is God? Always know God's right there where you left him. And Gideon cannot understand the things that have happened to him. And it hurts so much as these people think, well, how can God be in all these things? And he asks that question, basically saying, God, are you sure you're still there? What has happened in our land? Child of God, this land we love, and we do love Northern Ireland. This land was saturated by the Word of God for years, and yet it seems as if the world and this land has fallen deep into sin, and we ask, has God forsaken us? And I just want to ask that question this morning and speak on that subject. Hath God forsaken us? Firstly, as we look at this passage, I want to look at verse number 16 in reply to that answer. It says in the words here, the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. The answer to, has God forsaken us? No. God is always there. Gideon had to learn a lesson. Gideon had to learn that God doesn't leave him. Gideon had to learn that the Lord never leaves his people. That God always is with us. Yes, people wander away from the things of God because of their sins and because of their sinfulness within their hearts. But the Lord allows us to face struggles. And the Lord allowed the people of Israel to face those struggles. He allowed the Midianites to come. He allowed them to take them captive. He allowed them to go through the circumstances which befell them and caused them distress. And it wasn't wanted, but the Lord was there. And no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, or I find myself in as a preacher of the gospel, no matter how much you feel the circumstances are too big to talk to God about, I encourage you to seek God. Because God is there, and God's only a prayer away. And God said those wonderful words to Gideon in response to his thoughts. God said in verse 16, surely I will be with thee. And there's a challenge. Gideon, there's a challenge for you and I. Will you listen to God's word and will you believe it? Because if you take action and if you believe what I say, if you do exactly as I desire to you, then there will be a time that will come in your life that will be a blessing. Yes, you don't see it right now. Yes, maybe you don't see that right now. Maybe you're in the midst of a battlefield. And maybe that you're wondering, has God forsaken me? But God says, when you go into that battlefield, I'll be with you. Gideon, you'll win, but you need to rely on me. And God says something more. Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He says, God says something. God tells Gideon that I've heard your cry. Gideon, I know about your supplications. I've looked at what's going on with your life, and I know what's going on in your situation of life. And yes, it's not as you know it should be. And yes, the sins around about and sins of the land has caused discouragement. But there's a time of encouragement, because God hasn't forsaken them, neither does God forsake us. But God opens a way ahead, and he's indicating there in that verse number 14 that he knew what path Gideon should take. And he knew what pathway the land needed to take if they were going to take ground back again. And child of God, God knows exactly the plan that you need to take if you're going to take back ground in this land, if I'm going to take back ground in Balnahinch too. If God, and what God says it means that the people begin to pray. It says that God says here that you need to trust in what God's abilities are. That you need to get back to God. And the reason why he could go with confidence, because God said, in this thy might, because it's the Lord promised that if Gideon did it, the Lord would go with him. And he says, I'm here, just seek me. He says, just trust me. But so often, we say, God is here. And if God's here, I'll do this, or I'll do that. But I want you to challenge you this morning just to trust God. Know that God's way is perfect. Know that the situations in your life are in God's hands. And know that the Lord hasn't left us. That even when you think everything is against you and everything's lost, Gideon's told God's with you. But back in Gideon's day, the Midianites were oppressing them, and Gideon was saying, God, are you sure? In verse 13, he's questioning the willingness of God. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where is all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And he's questioning the willingness of God to do something. He's questioning that God is able to do the impossible. But he had doubt. But he had no doubt that God needed to move. He had no doubt that God needed to move. But God says, Gideon, are you willing? Little hymn in our hymn book, it says, speak just a word for Jesus. Child of God, let me ask you a question. You faced many people. Don't know if you went to Scarborough, went to the 12th day, or other times, your family around you. How many people did you tell about God? How many of your loved ones did you challenge about their sin? How many people did you and I tell about God's love? Gideon was told just to tell a word. And Gideon wasn't sure. I'm not reading again verse 13 because of time, but he remembers that God brought them out of Egypt. He acknowledges that God did a work back in that time before. But he thinks God has left us. He thinks God has forsaken him. He thinks that God is no longer gazing upon the people of God. And he asks, where is God? He says, but now, in that verse 13, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And I wonder, has there come a point in your life where you've just said the same? Where is God? Where is God? These many nights have come. These many nights have oppressed, they've wrestled against you. You've left with fear of the enemy coming against you more and more. When the Bible then tells Gideon, when you rant, because Gideon did rant in verse 13, God looks at him. Did you notice in verse 14, God looks at him? That Gideon, after his rant, it says the Lord looked upon him. Meaning God looks at a simple farmer. That God would use who God was willing to use. And he says, I'm going to use you to get the people back to where I know they should be at and where they should belong. And wouldn't it be wonderful in this land that we love, where a people have gone far from the things of God, that amongst such a people who are far from God was a people probably like Gideon in verse number 13. That's us. That God would see fit to use a remnant of people in this church and throughout this denomination, throughout farther afield, that we would see this land turning once again back to God. For God is looking in this day and age in 2023 for a people to stand up and take their stand for the gospel's sake. And let me ask you, has God forsaken us? No, he hasn't. And are you willing to stand up and be counted and proclaim the good news? For when we do, and when we do it together, we know that God is with us. Let's ask a second question, that question once more. Hath God forsaken us? Look at verse 16 again, and we'll see the answer, no, God's ready to use us. Verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites. One man. Maybe you think, well, one man's not enough. In God's hands, one's enough. You think of what God did in this church throughout the years. I was telling my testimony, I'm amazed. The first place that I was ever taken to wasn't home, but it was to this church. To the opening. That was the first place I ever got to from hospital. It was to a meeting. The opening of this building. And God brought us to this period of time, brought you through in this period of time. And now you look throughout those years, and 45 years since this building was open. And you look at all of that time as the Lord has blessed. Has God forsaken you? No, he hasn't. God wants to use you. He says, I will be with thee. And child of God, every one of us need to go through with God. Child of God, we need God to use us, and we need to have God with us. And God is saying, look unto me. And God's saying to you this morning, trust me, lean on me. And no matter what you're going through, if you apply my word, know I'm with you. And Gideon, God gives enough sufficient answer to him. And for us to recognize that God's word is final. And if God tells you that he's with you, God is with you. If we take God's word to this nation once more, God is willing to use us. Because when we go through with God, we'll see victory. See, it was victory God was promising to Gideon. If you hear my word, if you apply my word, Gideon, I know your situation, but take a leap of faith knowing I'm ready to use you. Then you will be amazed what God can do. And remember, no matter how small a work you can do for God, maybe all you can do, say, preacher, is not much I can do now. All I can do is really encourage someone. That's a wonderful work. Maybe all you can do is come to the services. Child of God, that's a work for you to be here and let people, your neighbors, see you going to church. God calls us to be witnesses. But God promises, child of God, that he will be with us. Yes, in verse 13, Gideon knew what God did in the past. That's why I mentioned at the very beginning. He knew what God did in the past, but his problem was that he missed out in seeing that blessing. He missed out in seeing it for himself. Gideon, he didn't see all those things that were in the past. And that can be said of many of us too. The generation, some of the generation here and some of the generation that have gone into glory, they saw how God moved in the early days of the Free Presbyterian Church. They saw how God answered prayer. But maybe you're sitting here this morning and you missed all that. God's capable of doing it again. God's capable of doing it again. So why wouldn't we be ready to be used? Why wouldn't we want to take the scriptures to this land once more? Why wouldn't we want to see the mighty hand of God being made bare once more upon this land? Wouldn't you want to see this land get back to being a Bible-believing land? We have Bible-believing preaching churches up and down this land. There's a people who come, child of God, invite others. Years ago you brought them. You wanted to hear them have a word in season. The land that once was saturated by God's word with the blessing of God is now reaping poorly because of their sinful ways. But likewise in Gideon's day, in due time God stepped in. Are we waiting for the due time? In due time God stepped in. And God chose the people who the world sought were lowly. And God looked in Gideon and God looks upon us. And God looks and says, Gideon, just follow my way. Gideon, take my path. And three simple things come out of verse number 14. The first one, he says, go in this eyesight. They might. I believe this should be our priority for our Christian life. Northern Ireland needs us to be faithful and to follow God with all our might. He says also, thou shalt save Israel. Hear God saying to Gideon that there will be a work done. God was willing to use him to reach a nation if he was faithful to God. And then God gives him so much more encouragement at the end of that verse 14. Have not I sent thee? Here's the confidence. That you do not have to go in your own might. You don't have to go in your own might. But when God uses us, we can go with assurance that God's hand is upon us as we serve him. And Gideon receives that promise that is set out before him. That there will be deliverance. It shall be dynamic. It shall be wonderful. Because God has sent him and that God is with him. Gideon, he's in the brink of something wonderful. But not realizing how wonderful it was going to be. How did Gideon react? He comes before God. And he does something that every one of us should do. It's found in verse number 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He acknowledges he's nothing. He acknowledges that God is everything. And he acknowledges that he's a nobody. And if we're ever going to be used of God, we need to recognize our own individual failings. Recognizing that by getting ourselves back to God, we lack the power. But where do we get the power? We get it where we lost it, back to God. We get it where we lost it. We need to get back to God. We could say we lacked position. But it's not the people in power and position that God's looking for. God's looking for people who are willing to be used by him, if only in a small way that strikes a spark. Just imagine God used you to be that spark, to be that flame. And this land wants it more. Gideon, God has not forsaken. Very briefly, very quickly. Has God forsaken us? No. Verse 18, but God wants us to seek him in prayer. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring my present and set before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And there we find he's saying, I pray thee. He's telling not, he says, I'm coming before God. Don't move. He's saying, stay, don't go. Don't go away from the things of God. But stand fast, because we've lost out for long enough. And Gideon didn't have much. And you say, preacher, but I haven't got much either. God's not saying, God, remember God thanked that woman for the widow's mite. It was above and beyond what anybody else would give. But Gideon hadn't got much to give. But what he had, he wanted to give it to the Lord. And while he went to get what he could, the angel of the Lord waited upon him. Oh, child of God, that we would earnestly pray. That we would earnestly wait on God. That we would give our little unto God. That God has given to us, for God has not forsaken us. God has always been there, willing to be used. He's ready to use you. And maybe this morning there's someone who's backslidden, or someone that's far from God, and you're sitting under this meeting this morning. And you say, well, I know my family were saved, but I'm not saved. God says, well, today I'm willing and ready to use you. I'm ready to use you. Are you willing to come? God is willing to use us for his glory. But God wants you to seek his face. Because we're never going to fight that great army of the Midianites unless we come afresh before the Lord. For without God, it's just a big enemy. It's a big land. It's a massive amount of people who care not for us and care not that we sin, care not for the sins. And they just want to keep you captive. But God was going to test Gideon. And God tests you, and God is testing this morning your availability. And God is testing your usability. That if you're willing, if you're ready, then the Lord will take your lives and make you something that you maybe haven't yet seen what God can do. For this was beginning to happen here. This was never for the glory of Gideon, but it was for the glory of God. Gideon, if you're willing, then you'll see what God can do. Maybe, just maybe, we too in 2023 will see a glimpse of the hand of God once more upon this land and upon our lives. But are you willing to be used? Are you willing? Let me ask it a little bit different. Are you ready just to trust God a little bit more? To leave everything in God's hands? Maybe someone here, and you're going through the trials of life, and you think, well, I'm not capable. I'm not capable. Then let me give you a quote from Bill Woods. Bill Woods, a man mightily used of God. A man who people thought had no capabilities, found a cure for leprosy. In 2017, he said these words, where God's finger points, God's hand will make a way. He said, when I told my dad I was going to the mission field, he responded, you'll be lucky to get as far as the potato fields. How wrong was Bill Wood's dad's dad? Oh, by the grace of God that plucks a brand from the burning and makes and sets us free, may we pray each one of us to be sold out for God. in this land that we live in, that there'll be a time when people will start to ponder God's word once again. That you will know, child of God, that God hath not forsaken you. That we will be totally surrendered to God. That God will do above and beyond that we could ever imagine. But it begins with you and I. Hath God forsaken us? No, he hasn't. But God's making you ready. God's pointing you in the right direction. And may God be willing to use you for his glory.